Hey, good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Case Kiefer and Taylor Byrne. We're here every Tuesday, 7 a.m., talking Las Vegas sports. And we're getting kind of close to March, a pretty big month here in Las Vegas, obviously, because our pro sports team, the UNLV Rebels, are going to play for their lives.
Do you want to call them a pro sports
team? Yeah,
don't
get them an NCAA violation. No, but
there are unofficial sports
teams. I understand.
Team.
They're the biggest team in town.
Yeah. They're the only team in town.
What about the Wranglers?
And the 51s, who are teams as well, but...
who are teams, we can confirm.
Yeah, but a majority of people care about the Rebels, and I think they have some semi-reasons to be optimistic. UNLV's on a mini winning streak, including... a win on the road, which is rare for us to see.
An easy win. That's the first non-cardiac arrest road victory of Dave Rice's head coaching career.
Yeah.
So kudos.
A thoroughly convincing win at Wyoming Saturday. Taylor, do you put an asterisk next to that win because Wyoming was so beat up?
That's just something that you have to know. But like I brought up, Fresno and Boise State were both missing either starters or key pieces too, and UNLV still lost those games. So they, and while I concede Leonard Washington is much more important to Wyoming than like Robert Upshaw or the starter for Boise State was to their teams, it still matters that UNLV did what it was supposed to do, which is win convincingly. Like they often find ways, even when they're clearly the better team on the court or seem like they ought to be, to not put it away like that. And I think Wyoming didn't get any closer than 17 in the second half. It was a snooze fest, basically. And that's exactly what you want a game like that to be if you're UNLV. So, you know, good job, especially playing without Bennett for the entire game. Basically, he was out there for the first 4 minutes and left with left shoulder stiffness.
From sleeping,
apparently.
Hey.
He slept on it wrong.
You got to get your rest in. So UNLV's won 4 of 5. Three of them, of course, at home against the bigger teams in the league or the better teams in the league, San Diego State, New Mexico,
and Colorado State
last week. And I said after the San Diego State game that I thought they played with that desperation, that urgency. They were aggressive. They played great defense.
They had some energy. They played like they always do against San Diego State.
Yeah, but I said, well, maybe – that could carry over to the CSU game and then onto the road. Do you think there's reasons to be optimistic that maybe that's happening? Or, again, was it just Wyoming being ugh?
I could pretty easily make cases both sides. The optimistic, I think, is the fact that Moser's playing quite a bit better than he has lately. Savon has been he's been good. You know, he's still – He says that he's learned the offense better. Dave says that he's learning it better. You can still tell, like on both sides of the court, he just struggles sometimes or will over pursue on things. Just kind of he makes freshman mistakes, put it simply. But they're all effort mistakes. And I'll say it all the time. You know, he doesn't screw up because he's not trying, and that's I think what this team has lacked in a lot of areas. Now the problems. You know, I still think that they use too many guys. They don't have a go-to rotation in certain aspects or certain like crunch time moments, things like that. I think, you know, if Anthony Marshall doesn't hit that shot against Colorado State, which was a really contested shot that, you know, you could say he was lucky to hit, then, you know, possibly go into overtime. And then if you lose that game, then it's a completely, you know, different view of it. So it's, they're not that far away from it looking a lot different, but credit to them for winning those games. You know, they deserve to be, I guess, patted on the back for that. But I don't think everything is solved by any means. I would still be, at this stage, really surprised to see this team in the Sweet 16.
Well, let's go back real fast to Wednesday's game against Colorado State. UNLV had a big lead, in case you were there. And they let the lead slip away, and of course Anthony Marshall rescues him out with the contested shot with about 8 seconds left.
There was 9.0 when the shot went through.
9.0. I kind of go back to the Cal game when he took the shot at the end, and it was rebounded by Quantrell, and Quantrell made it for what turned out to be a great win for UNLV.
Yeah, Cal's really come on.
They have.
That didn't look all that good at the start of conference play and things like that, but that's a really nice win now.
A very nice win, especially since UNLV is desperate for anything that looks like a nice win. But we knew Anthony was going to shoot the ball. I think he shot it too early, though. Don't you want to take the last shot, or do you want to have time to grab a rebound if you need to?
I mean, you always want to have – I agree that you'd want to shoot it ideally with like 6 or 7 seconds left. I don't remember what the shot clock situation was. Like, he may have needed to shoot that.
Okay, I won't say anything.
I think it was early enough that he didn't have to, but I honestly don't remember.
I thought they had the last shot.
I think they did.
They may have.
But I didn't really have a problem with it. I think you could make cases both ways. I'm no basketball coach, but, I mean, then –
Yeah, when we're talking about, you know, when I say ideally you shoot it with like 6 or 7 seconds and he shot it and made it with 9 seconds left, that's really splitting hairs.
Okay, well, then let me pull forward to my point. In case you were at the CSU game, Taylor, you've been at every game the last year and 90%. Is Anthony Marshall the guy UNLV wants taking the last shot with the game on the line? Is he going to be your guy down the stretch or in March when you need to win a game and there's one guy who's going to shoot it? We'll go to the lefty. Case, you go first.
Definitely, one, if not one, I think he's 1B. And this is one thing, as little as I know, I think we had this conversation at the beginning of the year asking who you would want to take the shot at the end. And I think even – this early, it ended up being a good call from Taylor too, but Taylor kind of argued for Reinhardt, and I said I would want Marshall just because I've watched him all these years, and I know he can do it. I think, what is this, the second or third big shot he's hit this year like this? So I still always think about getting the ball to your best player, who is obviously Bennett, but if it's not Bennett for me, I would take Marshall.
Yeah, I would absolutely want Bennett in the post. In late game situations, I want a chance to draw a foul, and I want it in my best player's hands, which in this case is Bennett. Who, you know, and there are, you know, some detractions to the way that he's played lately. And, you know, hopefully for UNLV's sake, the shoulder injury isn't anything serious and he'll be back to normal Saturday at Reno. But I think you want to give him the ball. They showed at the end of the Boise State game that, you know, he may not have the best late game decision making, taking a contested three way too early in the shot clock. But I don't think that one mistake should completely scare you away from giving him another chance at it. But I think Anthony Marshall is going to be in the game as long as he hasn't fouled out at the end of the game. He's going to have to start the play with the ball in his hands, and he's probably going to have to get double-teamed to give it up.
It seems like – I mean, credit to him. He says this is his team, this is his town – and they're going to win or lose as he goes. I totally get that.
No, he doesn't. That last part he doesn't say.
Okay. Does he feel that? Because I kind of sense that. And I don't. Maybe. And I think that some people might sense that as well.
Yeah. I feel like he's always tried to put too much on his shoulders at the end of games. I don't know how many exactly like last 30 seconds with a chance to tie or take the lead shots that he's missed. But there's quite a few. And it's just something where I think he just tries too hard, doesn't necessarily make the same decisions at the end of the game that he would, you know, just an important stretch in the first half, something like that. I think he just gets gets tunnel vision, basically. Just can only see one way for it to go. Maybe puts the blinders on. But that's not, you know, that's all speculation. That's not him generally saying, you know, it's me or nothing type of thing. I think, anyway.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV every Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock. In fact, every morning during the week at 7, news gatherers from right here at the Las Vegas Sun are talking to you, the KUNV listeners, getting you ready for your day with what's happening in Vegas. And right now we're talking UNLV basketball with Taylor Byrne and Case Kiefer, and of course I'm Ray Brewer. And UNLV with
it's Reno week.
It's Reno
week. I can't believe you haven't brought this up yet.
That's what I was going to bring up. We got a little.
We got almost 10 minutes in, and you hadn't like spat on Reno yet.
No,
I was shocked.
Reno's a great place. I love Reno. Who doesn't like Reno? UNLV, UNR, Saturday afternoon at the McKay Center, is it? Lawler Event Lawler. Center. How did I forget that? Lawler Event Center. And I've always argued that it won't be a rivalry until Reno wins one of the games. And I've always said that there's no way UNR, which has a losing record this season, is going to beat UNLV. With that said, I am super, super, super nervous for Saturday.
You're crossing your fingers.
I am.
And there's reason to be nervous because I think, you know, we mentioned Wyoming didn't have its best player. If you go back to when it lost Luke Martinez, it didn't have its two best players when UNLV handled them. And so it was essentially UNLV against kind of a JV squad.
Which is Reno a JV squad anyways. Go ahead.
Malik Story and Deontay Burton are not JV.
It's okay. They play with other guys that are JV, so it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they more than make up for it.
It's okay. You can argue about it. You got a blue sweater on today. I got a red shirt. What's that say?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, what? I was going to bring this up later, but now that you bring up what we're wearing, what color are your shoes?
They're black.
What color are your socks?
They're brown.
What's the matter with
what
you?
What are you, Joan Rivers here?
Joan Rivers.
She does the fashion thing on E, doesn't she?
Is she still alive?
Is that who it does it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I think you're right, but I had no idea that she was still alive.
Yeah, Joan.
Either way, you don't have to be on the red carpet to know you don't wear brown socks with black shoes.
I'm sorry. I'm limited on socks.
I don't blame you because I have these great shoes I still love, but I can't wear them anymore. But Taylor and this one other guy would just give me grief every time I wore them because they are black and brown.
The shoes. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and
Was it me and
Weston?
Weeby? Oh, what? Yes. Well, Weston has no legs to stand on. That kid wore a backwards KU hat to every game he covered.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would get if I wore black pants with them, they'd be like, oh, you're wearing brown shoes with black pants. If I wore khakis with them, oh, you're wearing black shoes with khakis.
I would like to point out, Weston did most of this just because it got under your skin. And it was,
and you joined in.
Oh, of course, because as soon as I saw you were annoyed.
Do you still have the shoes?
Yeah, I still have the shoes, for sure. I just don't wear
them. Just wear them with, like, white socks or something. Just give up.
Yeah. You have to wear them with jeans, basically, then, right?
Yeah, that would probably work.
They work with it. Trust me, they work with everything.
Just wear them with confidence, and then nobody
can wear them on your wedding night?
Because I was – no, I'm not going to wear them on my wedding night, but because they made me, like, self-conscious about this.
You would probably take them off on your wedding
like,
night.
Like, every female I was friends with, I asked about them, and they all said they were fine for both. Because they're black and brown. It was just Taylor and this one kid that I don't even know how to describe him.
Don't.
That didn't like it. Well, back to the Reno UNLV basketball game. You're right. UNR has a few good pieces in Burton.
And they also, you know, kind of besides the Mountain West tournament, what else do they have to play for at this point besides this game?
That's what I was going to tell you. The entire town of Reno is going to be in the facility. If they win, the Sizzler is going to be sold out in celebration. And UNLV is going to have its hands full because this is a hostile road environment. The good news is that if the Rebels can somehow pull out a victory, I think it will continue this good momentum. And then we could say the Rebels are peaking at the right time.
Yeah, and if they win this game, they're going to end on a six-game winning streak because they're going to win their last two at home. There's no doubt in my mind about that one. And so to ride that into hosting the Mountain West tournament in your home arena, I think that would be – that could be big. And they're currently a half game back in the league. Colorado State, I think, plays Fresno at home maybe Wednesday. So they'll probably be a full game back by the time that they play again.
Of second
place. Of second place, yeah. First place is over. Congrats, New Mexico. Steve Alford, you are the league's coach of the year again. Why anybody continues to doubt this team, I don't know. I picked them third preseason, and I think just about everybody else did too. No one had them – like few people had them higher than that. And, you know, shame on us, I guess. But they bring – the scariest thing about New Mexico, they're going to get even better next year because they bring everybody back. Like, it is scary. But, yeah, so this year, that's over. But UNLV still can get second place. And even if they get third, with the way that they kind of swooned through a few games there in the middle, I think that's still – I think you'd have to take that, especially if it came with finishing ahead of San Diego State. Fans would enjoy that very much.
And regardless of – I think UNLV – obviously UNLV's in the tournament regardless.
Yes.
They'll either win their final three or two of their last three, depending on what happens at Reno. And now we're talking about seeding. What do they have to do to avoid the 8-9 line in the NCAA tournament? Including the Mountain West tournament?
I think so.
So even if they lost in the finals of the Mountain West?
I think winning out up until the finals, maybe you sneak into that 6-7 range. But I think for the most part, they're going to I'm not sure that they're going to get better than an 8. They might, but it seems like the Mountain West, New Mexico is going to get a really good seed. And then I think the rest of them are just going to be thrown in between 7 and 11. And I just want to point out, because I had this conversation going back to like the start of conference season with a bunch of fans, anybody who asked me, Mountain West is going to get 4 teams. They were always going to get 4 teams. I don't know why anyone ever thought that that wasn't going to be the case. 4 teams. New Mexico, UNLV, San Diego State, Colorado State.
So if they're going to be on the 8-9, that brings us up to our argument from last week. We might as well just make plans for that weekend, because even if they win the first game, they have absolutely no chance against the 1 seed. So we might as well go up to Mount Charleston or something and just ignore that game, according to Brewer.
Yep.
There you go.
he agrees. Now, this is – how about this? How about if the scenarios – and now, if they would win – almost all their games out, they probably wouldn't be at that 10. But for a while, there was a very real possibility of playing Lon Kruger's Oklahoma in like a 7-10 game in Kansas City, with the possibility of playing 2-seed Kansas after that, since KU and UNLV always seem to end up in the same place. I know Ray would have loved that.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UNLV and all things Las Vegas sports related. Moving on to
where do you think they'll be seated?
I don't have a good. I've had a bad college basketball season in terms of my predicting, and I have no gauge at it at all. The one thing is, I watched, and this is totally off topic, but I watched Miami and Indiana State play on Christmas Day. They were in a tournament in Hawaii, and it was the ugliest game you've ever seen. Two teams that couldn't shoot the ball straight. Had no offensive flow, no rhythm. I felt bad for both teams. And now all of a sudden Miami's the second team in the nation.
Yeah.
I think that's
they were missing
whoever they're missing. I think I would take UNLV at Miami, UNLV. They play anywhere, I would take UNLV.
Wow, you are going to lose a lot of money. Like what?
Is Miami good?
Yeah, you're judging this team on maybe their worst game of the year. Like, you're judging them on the one time you saw them, which happened to be a really bad performance. Like, I haven't seen much of Miami, but UNLV at Miami, oh, man, I'm laying those points.
I watched 2 straight Miami games, not this weekend, and I was very impressed. I think they're one of the 5 best teams in the country.
I watched them lose at Wake. I watched them last weekend. They struggled to beat Clemson.
That was like, was that ugly 45-43 one? Yeah.
You watched them play North Carolina?
They look great. Absolutely destroyed them. No doubt about it. But
how about beating Duke by 27?
Yeah, the Duke
totally
game.
Agree
the Duke,
with
those
you.
Are the 2 games I watched.
How
so probably
could you be
not.
The second ranked team in the nation and score 48 points against Clemson?
45.
Whatever it was.
And they're not anymore, I assume, because
the
new rankings came
but
out.
How
was
that as bad as Kansas
time.
Was the second ranked team and lost to TCU?
Yeah, that's the worst loss of any one of those like top teams.
I mean, all these top teams have most of them have bad losses this year,
including UNLV at Fresno.
Well,
I wouldn't consider
we
them
said,
a top
we said top
team,
teams.
But
we're talking about like the top 5, top 10
teams. Oh, okay.
Teams.
Not the top 45 teams?
No.
It probably applies to the top 45.
I would prefer not to have to run down the bad losses of the top 45 teams in the country right now.
Yeah.
UNLV's got – it's probably a top 30 team, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No. They're close. Top 35.
I say 30.
30, yeah, top 30.
I say top
30. Yeah, I say 30 and 35. There's not a whole lot of
difference.
Well,
put them
here, then here's what I
see. From 20 to 40, there's – just throw those teams in a hat, basically.
Here's what I can't figure out then. If UNLV is a top 30 team, 30 divided by 4 is what? Okay, that's right. About a 7 or an 8 seed. Good job, Taylor Byrne. Got that calculator working.
Oh, very interesting. I'm glad I said they're in the top 30 because they are, you probably know this, but exactly number 30 in
Ken
Pomeroy Bond. Right
yep.
now.
What's Colorado State at now?
Colorado State. They were pretty high at one. They were like 15 earlier in the week, right? And now I can't even find them.
They've lost two or three in a row.
Three, maybe?
No, two. Because they were coming off. They gave up 45 to Air Force or to Michael Lyons at Air Force and still won. And then the UNLV loss. And then in a great game I wish I could have watched, but I was driving up to UNLV, they lost home against New Mexico when Kendall Williams scores 46.
Wow. Well, they're still 18.
Okay. Yeah. So I figured they couldn't have dropped off that much. Yeah,
not too bad.
And that, especially that good of a rebounding team, and his metrics are gonna stay up there. Their defense, though, issues.
Yeah.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV.
It just got somber.
switching gears to our UFC talk. Case Kiefer was in Anaheim this past weekend for the inaugural women's fight of organization history, and for all intents and purposes, it went well. It was a good fight. The woman who they're building all their marketing around, who had UFC gear on from head to toe, one, and the other girl put up a decent fight, and now all of a sudden we've got ourselves a little division.
Yeah, we do. I think last week on the show we talked about what would be the best for the UFC, and I really said anything as long as Rousey won. Well, I think this was honestly the best case scenario. Liz Carmouche, who she was fighting in the first fight, came out and, I mean, was inches away from finishing her, it looked like. Got on her back, tried to choke her out. And I mean, it was really a tense moment there in the Honda Center. It looked like it was going to be one of the biggest upsets of all time, but Ronda fought through it, kind of shook her off her back, and then eventually did what she did with 11 seconds left in the first round. Finally pried her Carmouche's arm away and got that arm bar. So 7 straight first round arm bar finishes for Ronda Rousey now. And I know there was just crazy attention for this fight. SportsCenter, she was on SportsCenter all night the night before leading up to it. So I think it'll build to her aura, and I think it was a good night for the UFC.
Can you address the conspiracy theory that because she keeps winning in the exact same way, that it shows that her fights are fixed?
That was the conspiracy theory.
I was at the UNLV Rec Center, and someone in the locker room was explaining this to his friend that I believe his analogy was that a racehorse does not win the exact same way all the time. Like, they would find some way to beat it if it was only the same thing over and over.
That's a terrible analogy.
I'm just telling you what the man said.
A racehorse does win the same time.
That's kind of what I thought, but I don't really know a whole lot about racehorsing.
Obviously, this guy has never watched any of her fights. Because
he says he's watched them all.
Well, because they're honestly not all that similar. Okay, well, 4 of them are really similar. She just takes the girl down in the first 20 seconds and rips her arm off. The rest of them, including this one, I mean, there's a huge struggle. She almost got finished in this one when she fought Misha Tate 2 times ago. Misha Tate hit her a bunch of times until she was finally able to get the arm away. I mean, the reason why she's so good and so dangerous is because you can't just defend against – most people in MMA have like one way they do an arm bar. They pretty much get a hold of your arm and
– what is an arm
and
bar?
And crank it. It's basically manipulating – this is a great – someone at the post-fight press conference asked Liz Carmouche, can you just explain what this feels like? And she's like, imagine someone bending back your finger to way beyond where it's supposed to go, only with your arm. Ooh, it's basically manipulating your elbow joints, basically. Most people only have one way to do it. But, I mean, this girl, Ronda Rousey, did judo since she was 11 years old, first American to ever medal in it at the Olympics. So she can do it from, like, any position. Most people can only do it from one position. So if you watch her fights, she's not, like, diving for the arm and just getting it below him. Like, this time she had to she had mounted Liz Carmouche, tried for it there, which is kind of the the traditional way to do it. Couldn't do it. Carmouche swept. So then she kind of transitioned and put her legs like around her neck and got a hold of it that way. So they're really not all that similar. If you watch, you know it's the same move, but you would be able to tell, like, this doesn't look the exact same. Why is she in a different position every time she does it?
So is this do they always tap out for an arm bar?
This time she did smartly. It's very smart to tap out, because if you don't tap out, your arm will be broken. And she broke, I think, her first 4 opponents, she broke all their arms. Oh, so then they were out like another year and a half, and that kind of ruins your career for a while.
It's a year and a half for an arm injury.
I only know one of them was out for a year and a half. I probably shouldn't say all of them, but one of the girls was for sure out a year and a half.
right. And the other thing, the radio ads leading into it, and you explained this to me, but just explain for anybody else who might have been curious. It said that this was, and this was the first UFC women's fight, but it had claimed that Ronda was defending her UFC title. And that's just because she brought, they just gave her the title when she came over from Strikeforce?
Right, so the UFC bought Strikeforce, and the UFC never had women before, and she was the champion in Strikeforce. So when she came over, they basically just turned her Strikeforce belt into the UFC, even though she said she didn't want that, and kind of threw a fit at the press conference when they made her pose with it, because she said she didn't want to touch it. So she was already technically the champion, and this was just her first defense. Basically, they're just taking all the history from Strikeforce, which they have the right to do since they own it now, and applying it to the UFC.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk right here on 91.
So sorry to interrupt your texting, right?
My wife just sent me a note to let me know a package has arrived at our house. So I'm
what is it?
The question of the day. I was trying to text her back when I got a nasty stare from my co-host here on LasVegasSun.com sports talk.
Let's guess what it could be. Have you ordered anything?
I've ordered a lot of things.
Like what?
Well,
like clothes or books or movies?
Bath soap?
Bath salts?
We're doing our son's room, themed room and bathroom. So
Buzz Lightyear?
What's the theme?
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. Is it?
I guessed
really?
It. Yeah. I honestly did not know, and I guessed
I
it.
I can't believe for so, I mean, because
he's in a huge Toy Story mode yeah. right now. A second he wakes up, Buzz Lightyear, Buzz Lightyear.
Has he even, was he alive when Toy Story, no. Toy Story 4 would have been the only one.
They haven't had Toy Story 4 yet there.
Oh, when did 3 come out?
I have no idea.
I don't think he was alive yet. Yeah. I would say 08 or 09.
Have you watched the Toy Stories?
Oh, I saw the first one, of course, and then maybe the second one. I haven't seen the recent ones.
I saw all three. I'm trying to remember what the second one was. Oh, yeah, that was Woody's Roundup and all that stuff.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie Cars at all?
Yeah, I saw the first one. I heard the second one was terrible.
Oh, there's a second Cars?
Yeah.
With I saw Lightning the first McQueen?
One. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I assume
it's you know, I was a teacher characters. At a preschool, and at nap time, sometimes we would watch Cars.
Cars is that old?
Yeah.
Because you did that like freshman or sophomore year of college,
I think I did
right?
a freshman through the first semester of junior year. So I did it for 2.5 years.
Man, I had no idea.
Did you take a nap with the kids?
No, I like pat their backs and their heads to get them to take a nap.
Dude, I loved that when I was in daycare. Wow. You just basically get like a massage to
sleep.
Yeah,
but they loved like when awesome. It was Cars, like once every other month or whatever, because we had a lot of movies. That was one of the most popular choices.
Yeah,
it took them longer to go to sleep.
Yeah, say that. That doesn't sound like a good. All right, let's put on your favorite movie and then make you do the thing you don't want to do.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
Well, LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Another week almost in the books here on 91.5 KUNV. Coming down the home stretch of the UNLV basketball season, Taylor will be with us all the way. And what a busy March. Big League weekend gets going. Cubs and Rangers at Cashman Field mid-March. The NASCAR race next weekend. 3 conference college basketball tournaments. And then the NCAA betting. Everybody likes to put a little wager.
I've already got my futures in.
UNLV to win the title?
No.
All right. We'll talk to everybody next week.